Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show. Look out the bright lights. Look out the bright lights. With tonight's guest, developer of Prosperity Homes, Joshua Tree Sundberg. Look out the night sky. Look out the night sky. And musical guest, Big Lucky. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
You know, talking about change, actually, Mark, we should add that I am also a musical guest today. This will be a first for us on this show in the whole 5 or 6 years that we've been doing it. We've talked about me singing on this show, and all of a sudden, I wasn't even the one who brought this up. Big Lucky, they're friends of mine, Val and Paul, and they've been wanting to do something with me and I with them for such a long time that today we're going to be doing something together right here on this show. So life changes.
An exercise and manifestation. Actually, you have sang at our live event.
Oh, yes.
But this will be the first time in studio on the Life Changes Show.
Right, and here at Studio NoHo. Well, very exciting, and also very exciting to have our guest with us, Joshua Tree Sundberg, and because what he's talking about is something that, you know, it's something that probably most people would say, of course, if they were in their right mind. And yet, we're not always there. Actually, I'm going to elaborate on that when we come back, because this is a really important point. So we'll be back to this when we come back on Life Changes right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. And so, in the way of introducing our guest, Joshua Tree, I thought of an experience that I had because he's doing something that's really radical and yet it makes so much sense. So I remember going car shopping for a car for me with my older brother, Peter. And we were we walked into the dealership and I said what I wanted, but I wasn't clear to the sales rep, and he said, oh, that's what you wanted. It drove off the lot just right now, and they're test driving it. Darn. Oh, wait, let's see if we can get it back. No, we can't stop them. All right, so let's just wait until it comes back, and let's go for a test drive. That way, if you decide quickly, you could have it before they have it. And so I anxiously waited because all of a sudden I knew that was the car I wanted. And I was telling my brother, I can't believe it. It drove off the lot and I wanted it and it was here. And my brother, who was watching this whole thing, after a few minutes said, wait a minute, you didn't want that at all. When we came here, that's not the car you wanted. You got sold by the sales rep who had this great pitch, said your car just drove off the lot, and when it comes back, you better say you want it right away so you could have it. But you didn't want that color. You didn't want that brand. As a matter of fact, you weren't even ready to buy. You haven't even looked at any other cars. This was the first dealership we stopped at. Look at you going all crazy over a car you don't even want. And so I just thought of this story as I'm thinking about what Josh is doing with these homes, with the development of Prosperity Homes. It sounds like something everybody wants. And yet, in a way, it kind of has to be sold back to people because we've been sold on wanting something altogether different. So I'll bring this example home. And that is to say that I couldn't wait to make a lot of money. And I've been working so hard, or had been, to make a lot of money. And it wasn't until I was working with a client that I asked the client what they were going to do with all the money they made. And they told me what they were going to do. And then I said, well, Filippo, what will you do with all the money you make? And my answer was, I would spend more time with my family. And I thought, this is interesting. I never see my family. I don't have time to spend time with my family because I'm too busy making money so that someday I can spend time with my family. What if I spent time with my family now, which is what I really wanted all along? Maybe I'll make money, maybe I won't make money, but I'll get to spend time with my family. So we've been working at jobs and we've been making money and we've been building businesses and we've been sacrificing our planet. We've been sacrificing our lives so that we could have a better life. Well, what if a better life is really back to home, to something that we've forgotten we really wanted?
Right there in front of us the whole time.
All along.
Yeah, we're so programmed by the way things have always been, or the way we were brought up, or certain habits. And it was funny, as you were talking, I'm hearing that, and I'm hearing where you're going with it. And I was thinking about how that is the statement that so many people say. When I make enough money, mm-hmm. when I win the lottery, you know, then I will. And as why it's so perfect in bringing it full circle to what we're going to talk about today with Joshua, is that shift in consciousness, that different perspective is a real door opener, because you don't stop and say, wait a minute, maybe I could be doing things differently. I don't have to make money to buy somebody else's stuff when there's a different way of being, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. You get it.
Life changes.
Okay, well, actually, so since life changes, and now after saying all that, what should I say about our guest? First of all, I should say our guest is a really cool guy and a nice guy and a guy that I've come to know that has a big heart. So there, that's all that really needs to be said. But, oh, by the way, he's also an advanced mortgage planning and 3E portfolio manager and the developer of Prosperity Homes. We're going to learn what that is all about as we get to learn more about Josh. Joshua Treat, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Really excited to be speaking with you today.
A pleasure to have you here. Of course, you've given no thought to what we were just talking about ever before, right?
I haven't, but I love hearing it. I will tell you, a light has gone on.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. And in actuality, I was reminded of this story because of your story. Because in a sense, and I don't want to give it away, but in a sense, you kind of started simple and then went into the rat racy kind of world. And now you're saying, hey, let's kind of marry the two and make it work for everybody.
Yeah, my own personal journey and really resonated with what you were saying. I think so much of the direction that we need to go is returning to where we've already been, but with a learning, you know, it's not. Mm-hmm.
Didn't know we were there.
Yeah, or yeah, it's more of a remembering where we come from and a re-embracing our real roots of what it is that is the foundation of us as individual persons and spiritual beings, but also of our society and our culture, and a re-embracing it. But yet we also need some dramatic changes as well in the direction. So one of the things that really resonated with me too is you said we need a radical change. And I love the distinction of radical, particularly in the mathematical sense, which means to affect the root, right? The root of the problem. And so much of the problem that I think we see in the world, from large global problems all the way down into our individual lives, we can all turn back and look at us, ourselves. And that this shift that we can make is partly returning back to where we've been, but creating a prosperity and a freedom that's really only been dreamed about from many generations before, that's tangible and possible now here today. You know, and I think that some of what you were talking about, what we've been sold, is that, look, we're in this quagmire, we're in this situation, and yes, we can see things like our whole community is being powered by solar some way in the future, but we're going to get there just a little bit longer, a little bit longer. And that's a story we keep getting told. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that story has been partially true for things like technology and economics, and I think also for us to embrace it. But the reality is the future is now. Mm. And it's far more possible to make the transition, or what I would call the quantum leap, today.
That's what I like about learning about Prosperity Homes and more of what we're going to talk about today is your perspective comes from a place of having worked within the system, having learned it very well, having designed for it, being able to then bridge the gap and connect kind of this, you know, different way of doing things that is in one way disruptive, but in another way allows you to kind of fall into the existing system without, you know, without disrupting.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's important that, you know, we have this big ideal of what it can be, but we have to be pragmatic and also recognize that the other thing I like about the distinction of a quantum leap, which it sounds very big and fantastical, but if you look at the scientific or the mathematical perspective of it, it's actually just a shift in energy level, right? Mm. It doesn't have to be a big change. It's more a change that can be incremental, but it's a change in the energy that mm-hmm. we're leveling. So when you look at the quantum leap that needs to happen, I love the analogy of the caterpillar to the butterfly. And when you look at the change that the caterpillar goes through, when it goes through metamorphosis, yes, everything is broken down inside of the chrysalis, but it's reformed, wasting almost nothing. Mm. Yet it's how we redesign it allows the butterfly to emerge, and that in fact this stage of consumption and growth that we've been going through is necessary to allow the independence and the freedom of the butterfly. But it's not really that we need something new. We just need subtle changes to allow us to be able to go places and do things that are not possible for the caterpillar.
And in a sense, so all the answers are here. It just needs to be rearranged.
It's rearranging, and it's a very subtle change. We're not wasting anything. It's more changing what it is to allow this new freedom to appear.
I like that.
Yeah, brilliant. You know, you off the air, you had shared with me, and I think anchoring that point you just said is maybe a good time to bring this up. You have had arrived at a really unique perspective. You know, there's a lot of people talking about the system and want to, you know, the suppression or the oppression or, you know, all these things from a negative, or we have to, you know, revolt kind of thing. But yet you arrived at a place of gratitude and then started building upon that vision. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
I think it's kind of the natural progression that a lot of times you'll come when you recognize how the world is, whether it's first you're unaware of what the world is or you're in ignorance. And then as you become aware, it can be discouraging, can be saddening, can be pissed off, quite frankly, about mm-hmm. the way that things yeah. are going and the forces that are acting on us. And I myself felt that of anger, you know.
It can be scary, frustration.
Scared, yeah. frustration, right. all of these. And have felt the idea of revolution, and I thought it was about going against the system. But I think that there's a much more Gandhian approach, or a Thoreau, which is, it's more of a positive non-participation with the system, and instead harnessing the power of it. And I think we talked a little bit about David and Goliath and this wonderful story, you know, that comes from the Bible. And when you look at the parable of David, you know, he's this small boy who's brought to kill the Philistine giant, and everyone is terrified, and it's this awful thing who's mocking everyone. It will literally tear you from limb to limb if you were to challenge it. But David is brought forth to the king and says, I can kill giants because God has taught me how to kill lions and bears. And he knows with a small, precise missile targeted right at the third eye of the animal, then the lion or the bear or the giant will fall. And so he walks out there, and he knows, because he understands the architecture of the giant, that he can kill it. And I was so fascinated with this idea, and that's what I brought to finance in my rage against the mortgage or real estate finance system and witnessing the oppression. I'm like, okay, I'm David, and now I can kill the system. But my own process has been, I don't want to kill the system. It's powerful and it's wonderful. And instead, let's ride the dragons and tame the giants, and let's put them to work for us. We don't want to kill them. They're actually very useful. We just need to get the controllers who are running them. And we are the source of their power. I love the distinction because I see you can see this in the energy complex or the governmental complex or the finance complex. And it's easy to see how much power they've accumulated and what they're wielding in the world and the result of that and say like, oh, we can do nothing. But if you reverse it and you say, well, who are the big banks, meaning the big five mega banks, you know, in the U.S. and system, and who are they if we don't put our deposits, we don't check with them, we don't keep our investments with them, if we were to just pull back, how much power do they really have? None. If we were for big oil, if we were to all really get solar power and electrify our vehicles and be powered by local sunlight, how much power do they continue to have? And I love the phrase that, you know, we need to really remove our power from their force and withdraw our wind from their sails and not resist it. We need to, in a non-cooperation, non-participation sort of revolution, pull back from them because it's the one that they cannot deal with. But it's also about positive cooperation and positive participation with what we want to see in the world. It's not just that we have to pull back. And we need to shift to
another
side.
And that's what we're sharing here today, is that you have some solutions that are someplace where we could put positive attention on. And I can't wait to hear about, well, I've heard about them, and I can't wait to share. And so when we come back, we're definitely going to share what some of those solutions are. And they sound fun. They actually sound fun and exciting and doable now. And also kind of want to know how you kind of came to it. So there's definitely a philosophy of you've given us your philosophy, and yet kind of want to know, when you were little, did you think of this, or how did you get to this? And then what is this? When we come back right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And we're back. We've been talking to and continue to talk to Joshua Tree. And if you want to know more about what he's up to, you can go to three, that's the number three, the letter E, and then independence. Is that IND? Okay. So independence.com. So 3eindependence.com to learn more about Joshua Tree and what we're going to be talking about right now. And a little later on, as Mark mentioned, we do have Big Lucky in the studio with Paul Frederick and Val Peterson, and I'm going to be joining them as well, so make sure you stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we're still haven't really gotten to the meat of what we're even talking about. So I kind of, let's give a teaser. You're talking prosperity homes. What is a prosperity home?
What does that mean?
Yes.
What are you talking
about? Is it a home
about?
Where everybody prospers?
It is.
It
inside
is.
Inside of
oh,
it. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
I would say not only the people in the home, but the community around the home and the world at large.
And the land and the air and, yeah.
Everything. You know, so prosperity home is a designation that we've come up with. And, you know, it's more of an ideal, but it's a real structure. And for us, it's where we're integrating 3E independence. So energy, economic, and environmental independence. Mm. It's looked at from an individual person or family level, but can then be expanded into communities or multifamily. The easiest version to see, you have a home that has solar energy here. Could be any sort of energy that you have that's renewable as well. Could be hydro or wind. But in Southern California, it's really easy to see solar. And then also merging electric vehicles with this. It's very important that we also solve the transportation issues. A changing of the way that we're landscaping from right now, which is mostly, you know, wonderful landscaping, but instead shifting more to forest gardens, so food production and harvesting of water. And then the home itself is hyper-efficient inside of it, so using very efficient technology to lessen the amount of energy that it uses, and then non-toxic. So creating an environment that's wonderful for the people in it, pure air, clean water, fertile soil. Is what a prosperity home is. And kind of leaping back to what we were talking about, that radical change that is made when you do this really helps achieve what you were talking about, which is a releasing of or creating of prosperity. Because if you imagine a family that not only doesn't have energy bills today, meaning in their home and in their transportation, the importance of having good organic food and clean water in our diet, but organic food is also somewhat expensive, you know, compared to other toxic food. So you have a garden or a home that rains literally thousands of pounds of organic food as close as you can possibly have it. And then what that does is it creates a foundation that's releasing a lot of the economic and the inflationary pressures that people are continuing to experience, restoring some of the balance of their health for the individual family. But if you leap outside of it, that home is also taking responsibility for removing most of its cause of the environmental pollution that is being created in the world. And so not only do we solve a lot of the foundational economic, energetic, and environmental problems for the family, but conversely, from the community to the nation to the globe, we're solving from the bottom up and the inside out the problems that we have structurally as well.
Now, Josh, are you saying that existing homes can be transformed, or are you planning on building new homes, or both?
It's both, 100%, yeah. And in fact, it's the opportunity to transform older homes is actually greater simply just because we have so many of them that need to be updated anyway.
And you were speaking earlier about, you know, certain limitations or why things hadn't evolved to a certain state with the, and now the technology's come along so far. I'm such a big fan of systems levels, you know, system level solutions, and that really is what this is. It's such big thinking, but yet people address each of these points when they go to create a new environment. So why not? Why leave lead based paints, you know, or burn, you know, petrol fuel or, you know, oil based fuels, and
why
and
put
yet
toxic
one
carpet
or the other?
In?
Exactly.
Why use anything in my home?
You might
toxic.
As well, if you're going to create, you know, from the ground up.
And, you know, I was just in conversation with some other people who've been rehabbing homes or flipping homes for a long time. And it's so wonderful to share with people that it used to be that it was a more expensive option. It really was. If, for example, solar 10 years ago, it was a little bit expensive. Or to have, you know, everything in your home be ecologically conscious and environmentally sound was a premium. It's not the case anymore. Mm. Green or eco or prosperity, as we call it, does not cost more. It just costs different. And we now have every option available from high-end luxury all the way down to basic level. It's more about just opening up and looking. And you're like, oh, wow, I don't have to make the choices that you were just talking about.
So this reminds me of having been, I was actually at a farmer's market a couple of years back, and I asked the farmer if her grapes were organic. And she looked at me like I was condemning her and her. I wasn't. I was just asking
judging.
A question. Yeah, I was judging, right? And she said, what's this organic? Everybody's asking organic. Look, I'm not dying. And she takes a grape and she puts it in her mouth and eats it. Am I dead? And I didn't know how to answer. And I said, thank you. I understand. And I walked away. I didn't have an answer for her. And so when you're talking about carpet that is non-toxic, you know, people have a choice of putting toxic carpet in their homes. And it has up until now been a lot cheaper than some non-toxic options. However, most of them don't see themselves putting in the carpet and dying, you know, the next day. So they think there's nothing wrong with the carpet. You people are crazy.
Yeah, and it doesn't really show up in the one grape, right, from the inorganic stand at the farmer's market.
You don't, she's probably dead now.
You don't all of a sudden have diabetes or you don't get cancer. Yet when forgetting even the measures of every other part of life that's now in the red, I mean, we have skyrocketing disease at every level in our society, right? I mean, you can't look somewhere that something's not pegging. It's just everything is doing the hockey stick curve, and people are somewhat mystified as to where's it all coming from in this. And we just need to look at our environment of what is around us. And it's not any one thing, right? It's what's in the water. It's what's in our homes. It's what's in our food system. It's what we choose to put inside of it. It's what's in the air. And incrementally over time, these things show up as chronic disease, of which then people try and help purify themselves. Some of them do to solve it. But I think the real solution is just creating a pure environment where it doesn't exist anymore. And also what happens with it is not only are you doing it for yourself, but because these are more conscious supply lines, you're helping solving the problem, what we're doing to the, you know, the far off
broader level,
because these are more ecologically sound businesses in general.
Well, and it's interesting to me because, you know, you always hear this, as Filippo was saying, you know, look at me, I'm fine. You know, I watched, you know, I ate tricks as a kid and I watched whatever. Those are the same people that are having a cold once a week or, you know, complaining about being unhappy in their life or in a dead end job or not doing their passion or whatever the case may be.
Or all kinds of drugs.
Or numbing themselves down, whether it be pharmaceutical or recreational or drinking or some sort of a bar that they've set in their own existence. And you wonder how many of us don't even know what our potential is. So you don't even know what that, you know, how many of those grapes, how much better could it be? Mm. So why not make that choice? So I think the fact that it's coming into a space now of being accessible where you have, you know, gluten-free or not, you know, you can make a choice. You can get that, you know, order, so to speak. And that's the way a lot of these, the supply lines, like you're saying, are coming into a place where maybe they're not even having to make that conscious choice as much as it's more available. And then with people like you putting it out there, you know, without having to realize just how deeply they're being affected, maybe they'll make the right choice.
Yeah, you know, it's a wonderful distinction. And one of the things that I would like to help raise awareness of is just how powerful we are here in the United States of America. And, you know, coming out of the last economic collapse that we continue to go through in reality, but, you know, as we're kind of dealing with here, we felt a lot of lack come into the world. But it's fascinating. So when you look at a prosperity home, I picked three segments, and which is our housing, our transportation, and our food system. And if you look at the United States for their gross domestic product, so what our economy kind of does in here, it's roughly $16 trillion, right? To put that into context, if you look at the number 2, 3, and 4 economies, which are China, Japan, and Germany, China is roughly $9 trillion, Japan is just under 4, and Germany is $3.5 trillion. So China being number 2, of the $16 trillion, $10 trillion of that is our consumption, okay? So we consume more here in the United States than number 2 in total and more than 2, 3, and 4 put together. So we have vast power here in the U.S. And what I like to reflect on bringing it back to prosperity homes, if you take that $10 trillion of the consumption, 63% of it is our housing, our transportation, and our food. So we have been pegged, and I believe we have become the world's greatest super consumers, right? We're 5% of the population, 25% of the energy, produce 25% of the world's waste, right? We're this vast problem in the world that if everyone else tried to live like us, we would need to have 3 planets, but we don't. We only have 1.
The problem is also that others are trying to live like the American.
Well, but only as we're pitching it now. But if you take that 6.3 trillion I talked about of our consumption, which is more than Germany and Japan put together, and if instead of directing it where we put it now, instead we were to channel it into energy independence, electrified vehicle, and restoring our food production to our backyards and our farms, getting it from our local farmers again, all of a sudden we now become the world's greatest super producer. And I believe that we can restore the creed of the United States of America, which is a strong republic that is a beacon of light and hope, not dominating the world and leading through consumption, but instead by example, showing our own independence and showing them, here, you can produce like us. And as now we are the world's greatest producer of weapons technology, we can reverse that and become a super producer of the world's light-powered technology, which is solar electrified vehicles.
That's fantastic. And to Filippo, what you were saying, I do believe that's the way it was. And I think here's a positive in terms of what's gone on in some of the failures and the housing failures and the banking failures. I think from the outside in, that kind of untouchable growth phase that the United States has always been, and that striving for excess, has turned on itself. And I think we've reached a tipping point now to where that we're not driving, you know, world's desire for that excess. They're starting to say, "Whoa, that doesn't work so much, and our life is pretty good here." And maybe, you know, so I think there's a coming together of opening the door for this kind of knowledge.
And you know, it's also interesting, Mark. You have often said that way before this actually happened, you said that people would be personal producers of media. This was before YouTube and that we would have so much media out there and media content because everybody would be producing it. And it has come to pass. And I am feeling like this is exactly what Josh is telling us, is that everybody could also be producers of food and of healthy environments, and that we would have so much to share even with others, kind of like the YouTube of food or something.
It's a return to innocence almost. You know, there were days back when, maybe before the fur trades and stuff, but when people had to sustain, they had to go out and find the food for their family and build their own houses.
And support each other, their neighbors.
Produce their own content, in essence, or work within the community, right? All of these things are basic, because it wasn't go to somebody else's store and sell them the goods that they're programming
YouTube
you to buy.
YouTube was around the campfire.
Exactly.
This is where you were doing it.
WeTube.
Exactly. And in a sense, that is developing, where there are communities of, well, we only like to watch this kind of thing, or there isn't enough of this, so we're producing it, and here we are. A fine example of that. When we come back, I still want to know, speaking of campfires and speaking of farms, I still want to know how you grew up. I think there's a key there. And so we're going to learn a little bit more about Joshua and his Prosperity Homes. And you can learn more at 3eindependence.com. And of course, when we come back, we're also going to have Paul Fedrick, Val Peterson, and Big Lucky.
And Filippo Voltaggio.
And Filippo Voltaggio on Life Changes right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And we're back. This conversation is so encouraging. You know, we're talking with Joshua Tree Somburg, advanced mortgage planning and 3E portfolio manager and developer of Prosperity Homes. Now, this is a guy who knows what he's talking about, has been out there in the world. Actually, not just the world. You were in, weren't you in the armed forces?
I was. Yeah, I served in the U.S. Navy.
So it's not like you don't know the system.
Oh, I know it very well.
You've been through it and in it in very different fields.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah, so you knowing it so well, actually it just gives so much credibility and hope to everything that you have to offer. This is not some guy that just sat under a tree. Not that that's anything wrong with that. Maybe there's answers from there too. But at least
most people come from that route too. Yeah,
but most people can believe that. Sure. Okay, so speaking of
the apple fell.
All right. So yeah. How did you grow up? I have to know.
Yeah, I grew up in Oakley, Utah, which is a very small town in the Uinta Mountains, just east of Park City, and population 500.
People?
Oh, okay. At the time. It's grown a little bit since then.
Trees.
No. Yeah, trees. A lot more trees. Thousands and thousands of trees, but 500 people in Oakley, Utah. And it's this wonderful little idyllic farming community. And my parents are actually artists, woodworkers. They did custom furniture. So I grew up in an artist home. Yet almost all of my friends were farmers. So I grew up with artists, and then I grew up on the farm and in gardens. And independence was very much, or is very much, a credence of there. And a connection to land and to nature and what you were talking about before of a real just community interdependence. You know, we grew up where no one locked their doors. Everyone ate out of each other's gardens and shared. And, you know, I think that's what we're talking about, a remembering of where we come from. And to kind of hit on what I was talking about with the gardens, like, we're a nation of farmers. Go back to the 50s, and we were farming everywhere. It's only very recent that we've gotten away from it. We got sold the different bill of goods. So it's that remembering.
So that's just it. Sold the different bill of goods is like the car that got away from me that I didn't even want.
Sliced bread.
Right. So did you feel that in order to be, quote unquote, successful and to make your mark on the world, you had to get out of this small town? It was too closing in on you, or these people think too small? Was there any of that?
No, I left right after high school, and I joined the Navy, and that was for all the kind of basic reasons. One, I was actually very patriotic and wanted to go and serve, and, you know, that whole element, I bought that whole thing.
You were a gunner's mate, is that right?
I was a gunner's mate, yeah. Guns, yes. Well, I did gun mount captain and physical security and all
obvious
things
segue to your current career.
Right, exactly, right?
Yeah, I mean, talk about life changes. I mean, to look at you, to feel, I mean, sitting here, there's no way that that's in you.
Yeah, right? But it is. I'm very good with guns and weapons and all things explosive.
Be afraid.
Yeah,
be very afraid.
Don't be afraid. You'll get big hugs now, but it is in there.
You want them in that community that we're building.
Right. But you don't need it in that community, right?
Yeah, for sure. So it was, very much a part of my process is being in contact with the entire system. And the same thing was told for the real estate finance system and the way that I came into that. And so there was never an idea for me to want to leave. It was more that I wanted to travel the world and I wanted to serve and also to get money for college, all the sort of things that the military appears to be. And it was a transformational experience, much changes. I was in the military 5 minutes, though, and knew that I would be out the moment that I could. For sure. It's an odd choice in some ways for me.
Right,
to be
after the ink dried on the contract.
Yeah. I will tell you that the universe or God does have a sense of humor, though. So I'm Joshua Tree from Oakley, Utah, and ended up being on, my ship is called the LSD-42, is that I was on.
Interesting. Seriously, LSD?
Yeah, LSD-42, the Germantown. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So then you went from that to business.
No, I went to college. I went to Southern Utah, and which is down there. I went to SUU initially.
I saw biology, right?
Biology and chemistry.
Was an initial.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. I was going to be an orthopedic surgeon for the first, since I was 13.
Of course.
I was very focused.
Go figure.
Yeah. And, you know, there actually is a big connection, though, as I look back now. I really like problem solving, and that is why, as I ended up coming around to the finance side, that's what biology and chemistry and science is. It's putting things together, taking them apart, and understanding what is the optimal way for things to go, and how do you take
You're just rearranging the chemistry of the entire system.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the chemistry of the whole thing. So,
You know, it's interesting. As a life coach, I often pose this question to people, especially that are mature in years, and this is the first time that they have a coach and the first time that they analyze their life and look at all that. And I often pose this question, exactly what you just said, and you understand at such a young age, I say to them, what if everything you've been doing was about what you were doing and also the accumulation of will allow you to do this from here on?
Everything has a purpose and reflection. But sometimes, whatever you step into that awareness, it is like, oh, wow, I had no idea these were connected. But in reality, you can see the tapestry and the destiny all being woven.
And when you see it, there's an expansion, there's an aha, and there's that quantum shift right there.
Mm-hmm.
The light goes on.
No. Yeah.
And your light is on, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you. And I'm shining right across from me as well.
This is awesome. I have to say again, 3E, as in the number 3, the letter E, and then the word independence. So 3eindependence.com. And there they're going to find what?
You'll find out about Prosperity Homes, and as you touched on, we help actually produce the homes themselves, but coming from the real estate finance system, you can purchase new homes, and you can achieve this through rehabilitating them or transforming them, or just take your existing home, and we use the real estate finance system to harness the giant to help people achieve it. And we're in a wonderful space right now where it's very easy to make the quantum leap and to make the shift.
I'd love to see you working, or maybe you already are, with interior designers.
Oh,
and because they're especially like celebrity homes and things like that. I know some of that's going on, but it could be going on such a grand scale. So thank you for poising yourself for all of that to happen.
Yeah. The future is now and it's happening. It's very exciting.
Yeah, the creativity is really limitless. Real quick, because I don't think we have a lot of time, but I would like to, if you can address one point. There's a lot in the press right now about, there's a lot of people with a lot at stake. There's a big system with a lot at stake. How does Prosperity Homes function in areas that, you're not supposed to be off the grid or that you have to function within an existing architecture before we evolve that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it around. And I think this is something that I would really encourage. I would like to raise awareness that it's hard to see it now. But what we are in the emergence is what is called the internet. So not internet, which was information, but now we're in the emergence of the internet. And to give you a concept of how close this is, Elon Musk, most people are familiar with Tesla. He's also the chairman for SolarCity. He's just unveiled his Gigafactory, which will be producing storage for his cars, but it's also going to be for home. He is triangulating three of his main businesses, leaving SpaceX and Mars out of it, into this space, which is in the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see the emergence of what is the new grid, and it's already taking form. And a lot of times when I talk about prosperity, people talk about getting off the grid. Well, we don't want that. We are the grid, and we need to rebuild it from the bottom up and the inside out using new technology. So we have some of the biggest players and the smartest geniuses in the world who are coming into the space of transforming how our homes, our cars, and our information all connect together. And right now it seems so clunky because you just get energy from the utility company and then I get gas. And then, however you're sharing this, there's no real interconnection. But within the next few years, you're going to be able to get energy from your home. You'll be sharing it with your car. You'll go to Whole Foods or whatever store you go to. And you're going to say, you know what? I have half a tank of juice in my car. I'm going to sell half of it back. I'm going to get a premium. I get a discount on my groceries. And you'll do the whole thing from whatever type of smartphone we're working on 5 years from now.
Wow.
And the whole thing will happen seamlessly. And they're already launching in Australia and here in the U.S. the first pilot programs where you'll literally be able to, when you fill up your car or your electricity, you'll be able to use the credits from your home that your solar cell is producing right now. So the internet is emerging. And the distinction I always like to come back to is the shift I think we need to make in our consciousness is we are not the world's greatest super consumers. We are the world's greatest super producers. Wow. And that shift is come be a part of the revolution and join the emergence of the internet.
Healing from within.
Right.
Join the emergence of the internet.
Internet.
And of course, you're saying E-N-T, internet.
Internet.
As opposed to what we know as I-N-T, internet. And the funny thing here is when I first heard about it from you, I thought, are we going to present this on the show? I can just hear people saying, that's crazy. Who's ever heard of that? But who had ever heard of the internet? And it was certainly being developed, obviously. And so now we take it for granted. So someday we will be taking the internet for granted, too.
And meaning someday is in 3-4 months from now, SolarCity, which is Elon Musk, he's already announced it in his quarterly report. Out of their gigafactory, they will be producing a home storage system for all SolarCity solar, which are the largest solar installer in the U.S. They'll be going back to all of them, and it will be much, much sooner. They'll be saying a year, 2 years from now, like you heard about it first on the Life Changes
show. On Life Changes, yes, because I was about to say I have not heard it in the media, and how great that you're here today to share it with our audience and with the world from this space.
That's so huge. Not only that point, but it should be pointed out that Elon Musk and others are really driving another part of that revolution, which is the open sourcing of some of this enabling technology, which is such a big deal because you're not suppressing the technology for a certain profit potential when you're putting it out there for products to be built around this technology and innovation to flourish. It's only going to further the internet, as you're suggesting.
Yeah, and to join in the great and good work, not only are they leaving it open, but if you look at the impact that the internet had, just go back to the 90s and how we're communicating and witness what this change will be in the next 10 and 20 years, it is the single greatest technological and I would say structural revolution that we've ever seen, with far more opportunity and ability to participate in it. It is the wild, wild west of the internet at the moment, and you look at the, I don't know if you see how the report of all the billionaires, unicorns that were made from the internet revolution, it will be dwarfed by what comes out of the internet and what is coming in front of us. So it's a wonderful opportunity for individual change, but also for a business perspective to come and join in this great and good work of changing our society.
One. The butterfly has landed.
Right.
Well, Josh, you just made this show a wild, wild show, and it's about to get wilder. But in the meantime, thank you so much. 3eindependence.com. Can they also find you on Facebook, or are you going to have a page? Or
yeah, you can find under 3eindependence. And
okay, 3eindependence on Facebook. Joshua Tree on Facebook. Okay. Thank you so much. Well, we are going to have to continue this conversation as all this develops.
No, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here, and thank you guys so much for the privilege of being able to speak with you today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And when we come back, big Lucky and big Life Changes.
And Lucky Filippo.
When we come back right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back, and this is exciting because I'm in the studio with my friends, and talk about life changes. we're going to be hearing the music of Big Lucky. But before there was a Big Lucky, Paul Frederick and I, we did music together with a band of our own. I don't remember what we called. It was La Dolce Vita.
Yeah, La Dolce Vita.
La Dolce Vita.
Many years ago, and actually talk about transitions, that was after my transition from working at IBM to being a singer.
Right.
And here we are at another transition point.
Totally. Now we're a vintage swing band. Back then we were an Italian swing band.
Right.
And now we're a vintage swing band.
And I've watched you go from just coming into town from New York and starting to make a name for yourself to actually writing for movies and now the band and everything else that you're doing, you're still writing for movies and all that.
Yes. Scored many, like 30 or 40 films. And then also we have a new project. We have an anthology of the 20s and 30s now that's mainly catered towards the film and television community. Song original songs and some PD songs of that era. You can find it also on iTunes, the Big Lucky Hot Jazz Orchestra.
Well, they can also go to bigluckyband.com and
yes.
learn more about you.
Yep.
And now they're going to get to hear you, actually, yes. and Valerie Peterson.
Yeah.
So happy to have you here. And she is now the front. You went from me to...
That was the evolution.
Front person, yeah.
From caterpillar to butterfly.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Okay, so with that, what are we going to hear first?
Paul and I wrote a song called Love's Still Free.
Love's Still Free.
Love's Still Free. I'm just going to go over to get my saxophone and we'll get started.
All right. And here we go.
Okay.
I should probably mention while Paul's getting ready. They're known as best swingers in town, by the way. 1 ounce vintage swing, 1 ounce retro lounge cool, a splash of roaring 20s fun, and hipster chic and a twist of sass. That's what Valerie just did just now. She gave me the twist of sass. Here's Big Lucky.
One, two.
Big Lucky. That was fronted by Val Peterson. And the band leader, of course, is Paul Fedrick. As I mentioned, he's also the arranger and the saxophonist and the a clarinetist. And you play other instruments too, right, Paul?
Yes.
But we don't talk about those. Okay. And then the band is the band is filled out with some of the finest touring and studio musicians in Los Angeles. And on occasion, it's a much, much bigger band, depending on the event. And today, here in the studio, it's the biggest band we've ever had. And we're happy to have Mike Boito on keyboards or piano. Thank you, Mike. I've had the pleasure of working with him before. Paul Lyons on drums and John Hatton on bass. And now joining the band will be Filippo Voltaggio in an original song written by Paul and Valerie called, Valerie?
Who wouldn't love you, Filippo?
No, who wouldn't love you, Valerie? Shall we?
Let's. One, two, three, and...
Wouldn't love you, who wouldn't try to arrange the sky to pleasure your view.
The stars above you simply align to glitter and shine and then fall for you.
The constellations exist to try to enlist your attention. They know that all your charms are too numerous to mention.
Who wouldn't love you
and give the world to have but the chance to pledge you be true?
I'm only human, I ask the question.
Oh, tell me please, who wouldn't love you? To polish your shoes.
Could anyone here
resist when you're near? Oh, tell me please, who wouldn't love you? Oh, tell me please, who wouldn't love you? This show. I every time we do a show, I find a whole new reason to love it. And this time it was our guest and you all. Just a fantastic show. Thank you. Thank you all for making this so much fun for me. I have a feeling we're going to have to do this again. And out in the world, I know you guys perform everywhere. They do big society band stuff and like the Academy Award parties and things like that. They perform all over town and actually all over parts of the world. Go to bigluckyband.com to learn more about them. So once again, a big thank you to Joshua Tree for being here with us, and a big thank you to Big Lucky, Paul Fedrick, and Val Peterson. This has been a pleasure and a show to remember. I am Filippo Voltaggio reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com. On Facebook at The Life Changes Show and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.